Thank you, Brother Glover. It's good to be in Alaska. It's good to be, we've got some Yukon folks here too. It's good to be, I don't know how you do that, Yukon. I don't know, but it is good to be here. Everybody doing well this morning? Anybody have fun last night? Y'all had a good time? Can we back this up a little bit more? So, amen. We're going to get this figured out in a minute. I got stuff everywhere. I should have planned ahead, huh? But I might do something a little bit different today. I don't do this everywhere I go, but I feel it on my heart and what God could. How many people want to know Jesus better? Yeah. Amen? Now, how do you know Jesus better? Talking to him, huh? Maybe praying? I hope it's like osmosis, just like, I think I can. My word, me and him are tight. That was cool. I like that. That's good stuff. But the only way to get to know Jesus is by reading your word and by praying. And I used to always think that reading your word was, that praying was the most important. That you know, well, if I got to pick between one or the other, then I'm going to pray. But your Bible is just as important as praying. If you've only got 20 minutes, pray for 20 minutes and read your word for 20 minutes. You know, you got to try to get in both. You can't just do one or the other. I know some guys that are all spiritual and in the clouds, man, and they like see angels and signs and all this stuff. But they have no foundation, and they're dangerous. And then I know people that all they know is foundation, and they have no faith for anything else. They don't believe that. And so there's got to be a balance in your walk with God. There's got to be a balance as you begin to search after God and to find God. And if you're going to be saved, it's going to be because you have a relationship with God. It's not going to be because you go to the greatest church in the world. Which I believe, you should believe that your church is awesome. But it's not going to be because of that. Amen? I know a lot of people that go to churches with thousands of people that are not going to be saved. They can dance, they can run, they can have the greatest music in the world, but they do not know Jesus. They do not have a relationship with Jesus. It says, the Bible says in Matthew 7 how that they're going to come to him and be like, hey, didn't we go to church with you? Didn't we hang out with you? Didn't we party with you? Didn't we knock doors with you? Didn't we cast out devils with you? Didn't we do many signs and wonders with you? And he's going to say, who are you? You never spent any time with me. You did a lot of stuff, but amazingly, that just doesn't seem that important to God. He's more worried about having a relationship with you. Amen? I got a scripture I want to read this morning in 1 Timothy 2 and 8. It says here, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modesty. Now, see, this is where us guys, this is where we are. Okay, uh-huh. This is where we start. Uh-huh. Yeah, uh-huh. And likewise, that women, tell them, adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness. Now that doesn't mean you walk around like you just ate a lemon, you know. That's not what that's trying to say. That's not what we're doing here. That word literally means modesty and reverence. That you walk around with modesty and reverence. That it's that you walk around with, you carry yourself as someone that could be respected. You carry yourself as someone that people could look at and be like, oh wow, I could be like that. I want to be like that person right there. I think that's awesome. With sobriety, with being sober. Now, that doesn't mean like don't get drunk, you know. That's not saying, it's saying with self-control and a sound mind. Not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but that which becometh a woman professing godliness with good works. All right, so we agree that we just read a holiness scripture, right?
Right.
We agree. This is a holiness scripture. This is about holiness. This is about trying to adorn ourselves and look like the way God wants us to look. And so we can look at this and say, well, okay, this is holiness for women. But the problem is it says in like manner also. So it means the beginning of this scripture is also a holiness scripture. And we don't look at it that way. We wait till we get to the hair and the clothes and all the stuff. And as men, it's easy for us sometimes to look at the women and be like, yeah, she's struggling. That girl need to go to the altar. You know, it's easy because what we can see is we can see where they can be struggling with sometimes because their holiness has a lot to do with the way they look and the way, you know. And so as men, we can look over and be like, yeah, they got troubles. Yeah, uh-huh. Wait till I talk to Pastor about that one, man. I'm going to be like, Pastor, you look over there at that one. But the scripture says, if we begin to read it from the beginning again, it says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. So if the last part of this is a holiness scripture, and then it says in like manner also, that means the first part of this is also a holiness scripture. So God says, I'm going to discuss some holiness stuff with my women, and then I need my men to also know that this is holiness. And he says, for a man, holiness is that you pray, that you lift up holy hands, that you keep yourself, that your hands are not into mischief and junk, that you're not out doing things that you shouldn't do, but that you worship with holy hands. It goes on, it says, without wrath. How many men do you know that we can't control our anger? We got attitude. We got problems. We got emotionally, if somebody get mad, we're going to punch a hole in the wall. I'll kick them right in their throat. Well, let's take this outside. The Bible says that that's not holiness. The Bible says that's not godliness. And then it goes on and says, and without doubting. So God says that if you're going to be a man and you're going to be holy, you better have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is holiness with God. If you're going to be a man and you're going to be holy, that you better be a worshiper. Amen? That you better lift up holy hands. That you better have control of your motions. You better have yourself in check. Amen. That you better say, you know what? I'm getting a little angry right now, and I want to profess holiness, so I better taper this down a little bit. Amen. You see, there's something about it that we can look at a woman and say, I'm sorry, guys, this isn't Climb On Guys Day, all right? We're fixing to move on. But there's something about it that we can look at a woman and say, well, she's struggling, but if my hands aren't lifted, if I haven't been praying, if I'm having problems with my anger, if I'm having trouble and I don't believe that I've got, I've got doubting problems about my God and working in my life and moving in my life, then I'm not holy before God either. And so we've got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We've got to know Jesus. Amen? I never know what they're going to have it in here. It's either hot or cold or whatever. And so, you know, we've got to have a relationship with God. We've got to know Jesus. Now, praying it is the easiest thing in the world, and it is the hardest thing at the same time. Praying is simple. Praying is just talking to Jesus. Praying is just, God, I love you. I think you're awesome. You're wonderful. God, I want to be close to you. I want to know you. I want to be next to you. But at the same time, if we're just going to be honest here, I imagine that if you start praying and it don't take 5 minutes and you're like, I love going to those prayer meetings. You just got that one guy walking back and forth. God, you're awesome. God, I love you. God, you're awesome. God, I love you. God, you're great. God, I thank you. God, you're awesome. God, I love you. And You know, it doesn't take long to run out of stuff to say, just being honest, right? It doesn't take long to just be going, man, that was powerful, man. And you look at your watch and you're like, well, I've been here 6 minutes. What am I going to do now? It's terrible. You know, it really is. It is not the easiest thing in the world to do. It is easy, but it's not. It's simple because all you got to do, you can do it anywhere. You can do it on your job. You can do it in your car. You can do it right now. You can do it walking down the hall. You can do it, you know, wherever. But it's just, it's different. It's not, and so, you know, you look at the disciples, and the disciples, Jesus told them, and he was in the midst of a trial. He was about to go to a cross. He had to get himself prepared to go to that cross. Jesus didn't win the battle on the cross. He won the battle in the garden before the cross. Jesus didn't get the strength to get on a cross and allow men to nail him down when it came time to go through the trial. He got the strength in the garden when he got down on his knees and he got close and said, you know what? Not my will, but thy will be done, God. That you've got to give me the strength to make it through this. That the man, Christ Jesus, went and he won the battle in the garden in prayer. That's where he won the battle. And that's most of our problems. We don't get serious until we're in trouble. We don't get serious until we're in the middle of the fight. We don't, you know, if you're going to wait to work on your relationship with God when you get invited to that party, you're probably going to the party. If you're going to wait to start getting serious about your relationship with Jesus before your parents aren't home and you're in a relationship and y'all both end up at the same place all by yourselves, wait one moment. I got to go pray. If you just stay here, I'm going to go spend some time with Jesus for a little while. I'm feeling weak, okay? So, no, you better have already done some praying before you get there, amen? You better already understand, you know what? I've spent some time with Jesus. God's been dealing with me about some stuff. He's put his hand on some places in my life and said, you know what? This is some things that you've got to work on, and this is one of them. And so, I'm waiting for Jesus to talk to me. You got to get in a place where he can talk to you. You got to get in a place where he can. We'd like a writing on the wall, you know? That'd be awesome. You know, we'd like an angel to show up. Have you ever noticed in the Bible that every time an angel showed up, they had to say, do not fear? Some of y'all would be halfway to the mall if an angel showed up in here right now. Y'all be like, I'm gone. We're gone. I'm waiting for the man of God to come up and tell me. I'm waiting for the prophet to speak in them. You know, we're just, and the deal is God can speak to everybody at any time in this place, but you have to be at a place where you can speak to him, where he can speak to you. And we've got so many noises in our life. We've got so much stuff going on. We start praying, and 4 minutes into it, we're like, well, I wonder if anybody, our phone ain't gone off, and it hadn't buzzed. And we're like, well, I wonder if somebody texted me, or let's check Facebook now, and let's do this. And we've got so many distractions that when, you know, and we find all these different avenues to try to find our way out of it and try to find our way into, you know, to find, you know, just here we are. And God's saying, I want to speak to you, and but we're busy and we got stuff going on and I've got things happening. And so we've got to learn how to slow down and just spend time with Jesus. Just spend time with Jesus. If you would just spend time with Jesus, a lot of your struggles would go away. If you would spend time with Jesus, things that you struggle with, the scripture says that we are changed from glory to glory. What does that mean? That means from one experience with God to the next. That I am changed from one church service to the next church service. I am prayed from one prayer meeting to the next prayer meeting. That in order for me to be changed, I'm going to have to get into his presence. I'm going to have to get into a place that God can speak to me and his presence can move and flow in my life. Now, when there was a time in my life that I was praying more than I'd ever prayed. I was trying to live for God more than I ever tried to live for God. I was preaching and evangelizing and trying to find the mind of God. And I went through a whole year, and it's January 1, and I'm sitting there, and I'm reevaluating my life. I'm reevaluating what's going on in my life this past year. And I start realizing that I'm no closer to Jesus today than I was a year ago. And it really depressed me, because I thought I was really trying. I thought that I didn't feel that much closer to him than I did a year before. I felt like I'd wasted my year. I was like, what is the deal here? Well, I don't understand what's going on. So I went to an elder in my life, and I sat down with him. I said, I'm frustrated. I'm confused. I'm doing everything that I know how to do, and I don't feel any closer to Jesus. I don't feel like things are happening any better in my life than they were a year ago. As far as my relationship with him, I feel like I'm stagnant and I'm stuck. It's plateaued. He looked at me and he says, I bet you pray cookie cutter prayers. I said, wait a minute, you're talking about my prayers. I said, well, hold on. So what do you mean by that? He said, you probably pray the same prayer almost every day. I said, well, I guess so. I could pray for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, but it was literally almost the same exact prayer every day. It was almost like a repetitious of things that, I mean, I could almost sit there and quote it to you, everything I was going to pray about. We'd just sit there and look at each other, and I had it all set down. I had it all figured out. I had my box here and this here, and we're going to talk about this at this time. We're going to talk about that at that time. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to move down the line. And has anybody ever prayed, and it seems like every time you pray, you just pray about the same old stuff? It seems like the same prayer every time that you pray. It just seems like the same. It just kind of feels like, well, I know that I'd accomplished something because I prayed, I talked to Jesus. I did what I'm supposed to do. I prayed. So I've got to be better than what I was before I prayed, right? But it just doesn't really feel like I've accomplished that much, It just seems like the same prayer I prayed yesterday or last week or last month, and it just seems like it's a monotonous. This don't feel like it's going, I don't understand why I don't feel the way that I'm supposed to feel. So I looked at him and said, what is my problem? He said, your problem is you keep praying cookie cutter prayers. The deal is when you pray, you've got to find Jesus and stay with him. I said, what in the world does that mean? He said, when you walk into your house and you're looking for your mom, you open the foyer and you walk in and you holler out, Mom! If she don't answer, what do? You just sit in the foyer? Wait till she shows up? No, you go in the living room and you look around. Mom, you in the living room? She's not in the living room. You can go check the kitchen. Hopefully she done cooked you something. She knows what she's supposed to be doing. So you're going to be in the kitchen, and you're looking for her in the kitchen. If she's not in the kitchen, you might try the laundry room. You might, if she's not there, you're going to go back to the bedroom, and you're going to check and see if she's there. If she's not there, you're going to be like, oh, Jesus, maybe the rapture happened. And who could I call? Sister so-and-so, she's probably going to go. Let's see if she's at home, Yeah. Oh, no. And so, but you begin to look for where they are. Does that make sense? It's the same way when you begin to pray. You've got to find Jesus. Now, when I finally begin to change the way that I pray, this is just how I started. And I'm no authority on prayer. I'm not going to write any books on prayer. I'm not the prayer guru. I'm not going to be asked to speak at any prayer conferences. This is just what helped me, okay? And so when I begin to understand, okay, so my job is to find Jesus and to stay with him. Have you ever been praying through your prayer? You're praying along and you're praying along. And, Lord Jesus, I love you, blah, blah. I love you. And God, I need you to do this. And God, I need you to do this. And all of a sudden, it's like you feel God. It's like you feel his presence. You're like, oh, there he is. That feels good. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, it's like, okay, this is good. This is okay. And then we go on to the next place. And God, I need you. And then it's almost like, man, I was feeling God, but I don't feel God anymore. And I'm still praying. What's the deal? Does that make sense? Has anybody ever been there that you've been praying and you've been talking to God and then all of a sudden you change the subject and you know God's still there, you still feel him, but it just wasn't like what it was when you were over here? Does that make sense? Let me ask you a question this morning. What is more important? Is it more important that you go through your entire list and you pray your entire prayer, or is it more important that we find Jesus and we stay with Jesus? Does that make sense? So we got a room. We're going to call it our prayer house. Let's just call it that. And you walk into the foyer, all right? When I begin to pray, the first room that I walk into when I begin to try to find Jesus, that is my goal when I pray, is to find Jesus. All right, the disciples, Jesus was going through all kinds of stuff, and he went to pray and asked them to pray with him, and them jokers were asleep in 10 minutes. He comes back. He got blood. He's distraught, hair's wet, matted, sweaty. Please help me pray. Okay. 10 minutes. They're sleeping again. Anybody ever been there? Bro, I have put in some solid hours at the church on the floor sleeping, all right? Wake up, got carpet burned, drool, people coming by. There was one night, I don't know what had happened. I fell asleep. My dad came by and kicked me because I was snoring. You know, oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I need a miracle. I need a miracle. I need a miracle. All right, so we've all been there. We've all done it, all right? This is no, we're just being honest, okay? You know, if you've spent any time trying to pray at all, you've slept some too, so... You know, and so here the disciples are, they're falling asleep and Jesus is needing help. But then just a month later, them jokers are ready to pray for days. Them jokers are ready. They go to the upper room and it's serious. It's hardcore now. They're ready to take it the distance. They're ready. What is the difference? Okay, Jesus died. He was resurrected. That's awesome. Do you really think they were that much more spiritual in a month's time? They had some cool experiences. Everybody in this room has had some cool experiences. Everybody in this room has had his experiences with Jesus. All right, there was some things that happened, but were they really that much more spiritual a month later than they were that night that they slept through all that prayer meeting? The difference is that they had a purpose when they were praying. The difference is when they got on their knees, they were going somewhere. That there was something that they wanted to see happen and something that needed to be done. And that there was a promise out there for them that they were going to receive power from up on high. You see, when there's a focus and there's a purpose to your prayer, it's easy to go to a prayer room and get on your knees and be like, all right, I can be here longer than 6 minutes. Amen? I'm serious about this. And if your purpose is to find Jesus... I want to feel Jesus today. I want to spend time with Jesus. And you can be honest, God, I got 20 minutes and that's all I got. And I got to find you in these 20 minutes. And you say, you need to pray 4 hours a day and you've got to walk on water. And I'm sorry, that's just not realistic for some of you. Some of you, you want to be great prayer warriors, but you can't pray an hour a day if you don't start with your 10 minutes and your 20 minutes a day. You can't just walk in and get down and all of a sudden be able to pray for an hour. It's not going to happen. It's not realistic. It's got to be something that you begin to start right now. God, I don't know how to do this, but I'm going to try it. I'm going to give it my best shot. And so here we go. If you don't pray at all right now, start with 10 minutes a day. Start with 15 minutes a day. Oh, just start somewhere, amen? And so the first thing I do when I walk in, I say the foyer, that's my repentance place. I walk in, first thing I do is I start repenting. Now, I don't know about y'all. Y'all might like to worship and jump around and stuff like that, but my deal is I'm human, and I got some issues. And so first thing I like to do is I want to make sure that everything with me and Jesus is all right. I want to make sure that everything's out of the way because you can pray. If you want to wait till the end, the whole time I'm praying, I'm thinking, God ain't hearing none of this stuff because I got too much junk in the baggage that I ain't dealt with yet. And so first thing I do is I start asking God to forgive me. First place is I go into repentance. I get honest with God.
I talk to God about what I did. I don't make excuses for what I did. I ask him to forgive me for every sin that I know that I've committed and I haven't known, for every thought. I ask him to forgive me for every feeling, every emotion, anything that I might have seen or that I might have heard that's not of him. I just get honest about it. I'm not going to hell, all right? And so I just get honest with Jesus about it. And when I'm done praying and getting honest with Jesus and asking for forgiveness, it's like I go into the living room and I just start worshiping Jesus, all right? And I just start lifting up God and I start praising him and I start magnifying him. I start glorifying him. And after I'm done worshiping him, I might go into one of the bedrooms, and it's a place where I pray for other people's needs. God, that you would touch Brother Glover. You understand that he's got a lot of mental issues, and I need you to take care of him, and I need you to wrap your arms around him. And if you would give Sister Glover patience, oh God, because she has to live with him, Lord Jesus. And so, you know, and so you begin to talk about other people's needs, and you begin to pray for others. And so I've got a place that in my mind I go and I begin to pray for others. And then from there I'll go pray for my own needs. God, I got mental issues, and I need you to give my wife patience because she's got to live with me. And then there's a place where I just go and I just speak in tongues. I just let the tongues begin to flow. There's some of you that don't understand the power of your tongues. You don't understand. The scripture says that if you go into a house and they don't receive it when you leave, you dust your feet off. Amen? Well, what is flesh made out of? It's made out of dust. When you go to school, you pick up dust, flesh, junk, stuff. When you go to your job, you pick up junk, flesh, stuff, things that attach itself to you. When you sit down and you watch your entertainment or whatever it is that you do, you pick up stuff that attaches itself to you. There are some of you that you just need to take at some time during the day and have a good old-fashioned tongue talking and allow God just to clean you out. God, I need you to dust me off. God, I'm dealing with some attitude, and I'm about to walk into my house, and if I don't get something right before I go in there, I might punch my little brother in the throat before this is all said and done. I need you to help me. Just have a good old-fashioned, I call it a dusting off. God, I need you to dust me off. I picked up a bunch of fleshy stuff today, and I'll just speak in tongues. I'll just talk to Jesus and allow his tongues to flow and move in my life. Because you don't know what you're praying about in tongues. The Bible says, man, you can be praying about all kinds of stuff. You might be sitting right here and binding devils in Africa. You don't know, all right? And so you just allow the tongues to begin to flow in your life. But the key to all of this is that if I find Jesus in repentance, I'm not worried about any other room in this house. Does that make sense? If I repent and I go into the living room per se and I am now worshiping, you know, I felt Jesus when I'm repenting, you know, I felt good, but all of a sudden I go into worship and it's like Jesus comes close. It's like I feel him. It's like, oh, this is, okay. I don't worry about any other room in the house. There's nowhere else to go. I have found where he is. And that's where we stay. It doesn't matter if you're fighting the greatest battle of your life and you've got all kinds of needs that you've got to bring to Jesus that day. Have you accomplished more if you have found Jesus and stayed with Jesus? Or have you accomplished more if you came in, said hello, gave him a high five, and went on about your business and rounded out? And does that make sense? Where have you accomplished more? If you've just done a drive-by, or if you've said, all right, this is where I'm going to stay, and I'm not worried about any. You can bring up all your needs on the way to the car. He can hear all of them, but you have found Jesus, and you have stayed with him. What we're going to do, what time is it? What time do we need to be done? 15 more minutes. All right, we got 15 minutes. This is what we're going to do for the next 15 minutes. I'm going to pray. I want you to pray with me. If you don't know how to pray, I want you to just listen. Not because I'm a great prayer, not because I have it all together, but I want you to just listen to what's going on. And there are going to be moments and times we're going to go to each room as we begin to pray. We're going to go into forgiveness. We're going to go into worship. We're going to go pray for others. We're going to go pray for our own needs. We're going to pray in tongues for a little while. We're going to maybe even just sit in silence at the middle of it. And if you are serious about this, if you are serious about what we're going to do for the next 15 minutes, this might be the longest you've ever prayed for in your life. That's great. That's awesome. If you're serious about this, at one moment in time, during the next 15 minutes, Jesus is going to come close to you. You're going to feel him in that moment. And when you feel him, you will understand, wait a minute, this is where Jesus is. This is where I need, and I've done this several times in several different places, and it is amazing. As we'll go into forgiveness, and there'll be kids start weeping and crying in forgiveness, and there are other kids that are like, hey, you know, God, I'm sorry, and we'll go into worship, and then all of a sudden there'll be three or four kids over here that start weeping and crying and feeling the presence of God during worship, and they're like, oh wow, you know, that's where Jesus met them. Then we'll go start praying for others, and there'll be a group of these kids, and all of a sudden they start praying for their families, and all of a sudden tears, and it becomes serious because that's where God met them. Does that make sense? And so what we're going to do is we're just going to go through it, and we're going to pray seriously. You can pray with me. It's going to be a collective prayer. We're going to have, and I'll change it, and you'll know when I've changed it, and we're just going to pray for the next 12, 13 minutes right now. Is that okay? All right. Lord Jesus, I come to you today, God, because I need you. Oh, Lord Jesus, I come to you today, oh God, because I am flesh and you are an almighty, awesome God that I cannot live without. I come to you today, oh God, because I've got issues in my life. I've got serious things, God, that I deal with. Lord, I ask you to forgive me, oh God. I ask you to forgive me of every thought, every word, every action, every sinful desire. Lord, if I've thought of anything that's not right, God, I want you to know that I'm sorry, God, that you would help me. God, if I've said something today, God, that is not right, God, I ask you to forgive me today, oh God. Lord, that you would search my heart, that you would search my mind, oh God, that you would walk the corridors of my heart. God, don't let Jared Pugh take Jared Pugh to hell, God. Lord, that you would help me, oh God, to be saved. That you would help me, God, to be close to you. That you would help me, oh God, to overcome these things, Lord Jesus. That you would give me strength. That you would give me victory, oh God. That your spirit would move and flow, Lord Jesus. That your will and your way would be done in my life. God, I want you to know, Lord Jesus, that there aren't any excuses that I can bring to you today that justify what's happened. But God, I can bring to you that I am sorry and that I'm going to try my best never to allow it to happen again. Lord Jesus, I want you to know that you are awesome and that you are great and that you are good. I want you to know, oh God, that you are my King, that you are my Lord, that you are my Alpha, my Omega, my beginning and my ending. I want you to know this morning, oh God, that I cannot take one step without you. God, I want to thank you, oh God, for who you are. I want to thank you for filling me full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want to thank you, oh God, for filling me full of your Spirit. I want to thank you, oh God, for loving me in spite of me. God, I want to thank you, God, for your mercy and your goodness and your power. I want to thank you for giving me a good church to be a part of. I want to thank you for putting a man of God in my life that watches over me and keeps me, oh God. Lord, I want to lift up your name. I want to magnify you. I want to glorify you. I want you to know that you're my Savior, you're my Lord, and that you're my God. I want you to know that you're the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, and that there is nobody like you, Jesus. You are worthy of my love. You are worthy of my worship. You are worthy of my praise. God, I want you to know today, God, that I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you, Jesus. God, and I don't want there to be anything that comes between me and you, oh God. So, Lord, I want to magnify your name. I want to glorify your name. I want to exalt your name. I want to praise your name. I want to lift up your name. I want to magnify your name because you are worthy, Jesus. You are worthy, Jesus. You are so good. You are so wonderful. You are so mighty. You are so glorious. Lord Jesus, I ask you right now, God, that you would be with Aaron. Lord, that you would touch Aaron. God, you see where Aaron's at today. God, he's struggling with some things in his life. God, you see his wife. God, if you don't touch them, God, if you don't move on their behalf, God, they're not going to make it. So today, God, I ask you to wrap your arms around them, oh God, that they would feel your love and your mercy. I ask you, oh God, that your presence would move and flow where they are. God, that they would know that you love them and that you care about them, oh God. Lord, that you would be with my family, oh God, that you would plead the blood upon my family, that you would protect my family, oh God, that you would watch after them, oh Lord Jesus. Lord, that you would be with them, oh God, that you would walk with them, that you would keep them, that you would be with Brandon and Landry and their wives, that you would be with Brianna, that you would be with Lauren and Kinsey, oh God, that you would be with my mom and dad, that you would be with them, oh God, that you would protect them and keep them, oh God. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I come to you today, God, because you alone can answer these needs. You alone, oh God, can touch this situation. You alone, oh God, can only move and flow in this, Lord Jesus. Lord God, I ask you to be with Andrew and Crystal, God. Lord, that your anointing would move and flow in their lives, oh God, that you would keep them and watch over them, that you would bless them, oh God. Lord, that you would help them, God, as they go through this trial, as they walk through this place, God. Lord, that every decision that they make, oh God, that it would be the right decision, oh God, that you would keep your hands upon them, Lord Jesus, that you would anoint their minds and their hearts, oh God. Lord, that you would watch over them, oh God, that you would be with them, that you would keep them, God. Lord, I ask you today, Lord Jesus, that your spirit would move and flow in my church, God. Lord, right now, God, Lord, as they had church this morning and they're going to have church tonight, God, that you would be with them, that your spirit would move and flow, that you would bring revival to Odessa, Texas, like never before, God. Lord, that you would open up the floodgates of heaven in that city, oh God, that you would draw men nigh unto you, that your will and your way would be done in that city, oh God, that you would change lives. Lord, that you would help us, oh God, that you would lead us and guide us, that we would be sensitive to your spirit and your voice, oh God. Lord, that we would be a revival church, that you would be with my pastor, oh God, that you would anoint him, that you would keep him, God. Lord, that you would put angels around about him, oh God, that you would lead him and guide him, Lord Jesus. Lord, that he would lead our church into revival like never before. Lord, that you would give him the words to say, oh God, that you would be with his family. Lord, that you would watch after them, that you would protect their health, that you would keep them, oh God, that you would walk with them, oh God, that your spirit would move and flow in their lives. God, I ask you to be with Robert today, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, Robert's struggling. God, he hadn't been at church for the last few months. God, I ask you, Lord, that you would wrap your arms around Robert, that you would be with his wife and his daughter, oh God, that whatever he's going through, that whatever's happening in his life, Lord Jesus, Lord, that you would give him strength, oh God. Lord, that there would be a hunger inside of him to want to know you more than he does, God. That there would be something inside of him, oh God, that would long for you like he's never longed for you before, Lord Jesus. God, I ask you to be with Justin and Stephanie, oh God. God, that there would be a spirit of restoration, oh God, that would sweep through their lives, Lord Jesus. Lord, that they would feel your love and your mercy, oh God. Lord, that they would know that you love them. God, that you would bring them back to a place, oh God, that your power and your anointing would be ruin their lives like never before. Lord, that you would bless his ministry, oh God. Lord, that you would help him, Lord Jesus, that your will and your way would be done in their lives, oh God. Lord Jesus, I come to you today, God, because I need you. Oh, I come to you today, Lord God, because I've got problems and I've got issues and I've got things in my life, God, that aren't what they need to be. Your scripture says that if I would hunger and thirst after righteousness, that I shall be filled. God, that means if I hunger and thirst after your character, that your character would be filled in my life. God, my life doesn't have as much of your character in it as I would like it to. So today, God, I ask you, oh God, that I could hunger and thirst after your character. Lord, that your words would be my words, that your thoughts would be my thoughts, that your desires would be my desires, that I would love what you love, God, that I would be the man that you desire of me to be, oh God. That I would be the Christian that you desire of me to be, oh God. Lord, that I could be a better husband, that I could be a better father, that I could be a better man, that I could be a better preacher of the gospel. Lord, that you would walk with me, oh God, that you would draw nigh unto me, that you would keep me, oh God, that you would help me, oh God, with every decision that I have to make. God, I don't want to be out of your will, God. Lord, I ask you to close every door that needs to be closed, and I ask you to open every door that needs to be opened. God, I want your will in my life. I don't want to go anywhere without you, Jesus. So, Lord God, I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, that your spirit would move and flow, that your anointing would move and flow, God, that your will would be done in my life. God, that you would help me, oh God, that you would walk with me, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you would help me to be sensitive to your spirit, that you would stir up the gifts in my life, oh God. Oh, God, that you would stir up the gifts in my life, oh God, that you would put a spirit of discretion in my life, that you would protect me from me, oh God. Lord, that you would give me faith, oh God, that you would anoint me and use me in spite of me, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you would help me to be sensitive to your voice and your spirit. God, I don't want you to have to use a blowhorn to get my attention, God. I don't want you to have to scream at me. But God, I want to live in a way, I want to live in a place, oh God, that you can speak into my life, oh God. I want to live in a place, oh God, that you don't have to yell and scream to get my attention, Lord, but I can hear the still, small voice. Lord, that you would give me confidence and boldness, oh God, to stand where it is that you want me to stand. That you would give me authority, oh God, to speak to the things in my life that need to be spoken to. God, that you would help me to be a soul winner and a witness, oh God. Lord, that I would love people the way that you love them, oh God. Lord, that your spirit would move and flow in my life, Lord Jesus. Lord, that your anointing would move and flow in my life. God, I need you, Lord Jesus. I need a greater hunger for you, a greater hunger for a relationship with you, a greater hunger for your word, oh God, that I might know you, Lord Jesus, that I might have a relationship with you, oh God. Oh, haya satayan darala satayata. Oh, ishokoyan darala sikiyan darala shokoyan darala si. Oh, I want to know you, God. I want to be close to you, God. I want your will and your way in my life, Lord Jesus, that your spirit would move and flow, oh God. Lord, I need you, God. Lord, that you would change me, oh God. Lord, that you would walk the corridors of my heart today, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you would inspect every room, God. Nothing is off limits. God, I want you to have it, God. I want it to be yours, oh God. God, I must decrease so that you can increase in my life. Ayasatayandarala shokoyandarala si. God, if there's something that I've picked up this week, God, if there's something that I've saw that stayed with me, if there's something that I've heard, oh God, that has found its way into my mind and in my heart, God, I want you to take it out. God, I want you to cleanse me, oh God. God, I want your spirit to move and flow in my life. God, I want you to have your liberty and your way in my life, oh God. Lord, I don't want to be in your way, Jesus. Lord, I want to be a part of the flow, God. If there's anything in me, God, that would hinder what you want to do in my life, Lord Jesus. I want to be close to you. I want to be close to you. Hallelujah. We started praying at 10:56 and it's 11:14. Some of you have just prayed for 20 minutes. I don't know if you might have never prayed for 20 minutes in your life all by yourself. You've just prayed for 20 minutes all by yourself. It's easy if you go into it with a purpose and a plan of where I'm going and what I'm doing, and I got to find Jesus. Did you feel Jesus differently in different rooms that you went into, per se? You know what I'm saying when I say rooms. Some of you might have felt him in forgiveness. Some of you might have felt him in worship. Some of you might have felt him when we begin to pray for others. Some of you might have felt him when you begin to pray for yourself. Some of you might begin to really feel him when you begin to pray in tongues. That's the deal. You find where he is, and you don't worry about any other room. You just stay with Jesus. You can get more done staying with Jesus than you can your whole prayer that you can come up with. With your whole prayer, if it's in worship, speak in tongues in worship and just spend time with Jesus in worship. There's been times that I've started my prayer and I find him in repentance, and I spend the entire time that I have to pray that day in repentance with Jesus. There's been times I've made it all the way to praying for others, and when I get there, I find that that's where Jesus is, and I spend the rest of my time praying for others. People's names come into your mind. People at your school, you don't even understand. Why did I just think about them? That's God using you. He's dropping things into your spirit for you to begin to pray for others, that God is using you at that moment, and that day you're being used of God. Amen. And spend time with him. And as you pray, as you grow, you don't have to go through every room. You begin to get to the place that you already know where he is when you show up. You begin to pray and you're like, you know what? I need to deal with some things about me today. That's what room he's in today. I just need to spend time with him and let him know how awesome he is. I haven't spent the time I need to, and I feel that's what, and go, and you find him there. And as you grow in your relationship with him, you don't have to go through every room anymore, but you can just, I know where he is. I don't even have to call his name. I can go and find him and spend time with him. If you'll use this, if you'll add this to your life, I don't care if you have 10 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, that you can use this and it will change your life to get closer to Jesus, to become more like him. Because you cannot become more like him unless you get into his presence. It's in his presence that he begins to cut things away. It's in his presence that he begins to mold you and he can begin to make you. For we are changed from glory to glory. What would happen if you showed up to church next Sunday and it wasn't all about you? But you've already taken care of you before you got to church. And you didn't have to come to an altar to pray for you because you've already prayed for you before you ever got there. And now you can say, all right, God, I'm here for you and whatever you want to do and whatever I can do to help you accomplish what you want to do in this place today. Amen. I love y'all. I think y'all are an awesome group. It's amazing the hunger and the desire I see in the people that are here. There's a revival in Alaska. God's going to do something awesome in your state, in your church. And he doesn't want to use your parents. He doesn't just want to use your pastor or the elders or the adults. You are powerful. You are anointed. You are called. You have purpose. Your prayers are powerful. If you would just pray and get into his presence, you could change your youth group all by yourself. You could change your church. Amen. David slew one giant. One. And he's allotted five. Bible says five. And he never raised his hands to any of the other ones. He got in a little skirmish with one of them, and then somebody else showed up and said, hey, why don't you sit down? You're old now. How about I'm going to take care of this guy? But the Bible gives David five giants, and he only killed one. Because if somebody will stand up and fight, they can show others that it can be done. And if you'll pray, there'll be other people in your youth group. You'll say, oh, well, I've been praying for a month, and I hadn't changed anything. It might not in a month, but you keep praying. You start slaying giants, and people around you are going to start saying, if they can slay giants, I can slay giants. But it takes somebody standing up and making up their mind that I'm going to be a giant slayer. And if you'll slay giants, there'll be people in your youth group and in your church that'll begin to slay giants with you. Because if you'll slay one, everybody else will say, if they can do it, I can do it. Amen? Hallelujah. Brother Glover, thank you so much for letting me be here today.